I want to share a story with you this morning. This is kind of classic. I know that I've read it many, many times, and so some of you may be familiar with it. It's called, If You Give a Pig a Pancake. If you give a pig a pancake, she'll want some syrup to go with it. And you'll give her some of your favorite maple syrup. She'll probably get all sticky. And she'll want to take a bath. She'll ask you for some bubbles. And when you give her the bubbles, she'll probably ask you for a toy. You'll have to find your rubber duck. The duck will remind her of the farm where she was born. And she might feel homesick and want to visit her family. She'll want you to go too. She'll look through your closet for a suitcase. And then she'll look under your bed. And when she's under the bed, she'll find your old tap shoes. She'll try them on. She'll probably need something special to wear with them. When she's all dressed, she'll ask for some music. You'll play your very best piano piece, and she'll start dancing. And then she'll want you to take her picture. So you'll have to get out your camera. And when she sees the picture, she'll ask you to take some more. And then she'll want to send one to each one of her friends. You'll have to give her some envelopes and stamps and take her to the mailbox. And on the way, she'll see the tree in your backyard and she'll want to build a treehouse. So you'll have to get out some wood and a hammer and some nails. And when the treehouse is all finished, she'll want to decorate it. She'll ask you for wallpaper and glue. And when she hangs the wallpaper, she'll get all sticky. She'll probably, feeling sticky will remind her of your favorite maple syrup. She'll probably ask you for some. And chances are, if she asks you for some syrup, she's going to want a pancake to go with it. So we've been talking about margin. Now, God's desire for us to create space, to create margin in our life, that space between our level of current performance and our limits. And there's so much pressure in the world around us to live at the very edge of our limits, to dedicate every single minute of every day, to dedicate every dollar that we bring in, to make choices that respond to the promises of the world for what's going to be success, for what's going to be bring satisfaction. And we find out that what God wants us to do is to trust Him to take care of those things. He wants to take care of our time and our schedule. He wants to take care of our money. He wants to take care of us. We have to trust Him. And if we learn to trust Him to take care of those things, we focus on what He puts in front of us. We find out what He gives us is margin, is space, is time, is the opportunity to be able to listen to Him, to pay attention to His voice, instead of trying to keep up with all the other voices that are demanding so much of us. So this morning we're going to kind of finish this up, because we realize by now that this is a lot harder than it sounds. As we've gone through this these last few weeks, I'm sure many of us have thought, that's right, I've got to have more margin. This week's going to be so much different. This week I'm not going to spend every minute. I'm going to take the time and relax and spend some time with God. This week I'm not going to spend every dime that I bring in, and I'm going to be available for what God might have for my money, or He might even allow me to save some, and I don't have all that pressure to deal with crises that may come along that I don't have the money to deal with. We promise ourselves we'll make changes, but the world doesn't get the memo, do they? There's lots and lots of pigs that are demanding more and more and more of us. At some point, we gave them a pancake, and they're not going to stop because we have established a pattern of participation in this crazy lifestyle. We have established this pattern that, yes, I'm going to do it. If you ask me to do it, that's what I'm going to do. If you demand something of me, I'm going to do my very best to meet every demand that's out there. And now we think, well, I need to change this. But nobody else is on board. The world isn't on board. How do we establish new patterns of behavior? So we're going to try to talk about this as we wrap this whole thing up this morning. Let's look at a few verses in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, another story I think we're probably all somewhat familiar with, starting with verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, Martha. This is Jesus' Brady Bunch. Throwback. Martha, 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 the Lord answered. You're worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I think we all identify with Martha. I think about, you know, last weekend, we had a graduation party for our daughter Bethany. She graduated high school. And so this was a big event. We're putting all this together. You know, a couple of months ago, we thought about, okay, let's make a guest list, and let's send out all the invitations, and let's get this thing all, you know, worked out. Then a couple of weeks ago, we started thinking, well, all right, what's the menu? What foods are we going to serve? You know, how are we going to, you know, put all this together, get the plan. And then a little over a week ago, we're like, all right, let's go shopping, and we'll buy all the things on the menu. And then we bought a whole bunch of other stuff that we thought would be good that wasn't on the menu. And putting all this together. Then a couple of days before the party, we're like, all right, we need some tables and chairs. We find a place to borrow some tables and chairs, so we have to go pick those up, bring them back, and set them all up on the deck. So the day of the party, we have to get the canopy out and put over the deck so it's not the sun doesn't beat down on everybody. And clean the house. We've been doing that all week, but it never stays clean. So you got to clean the house again. Send the kids out to the yard to pick up the dog poop, and you know all these things that have to be done. And then you know we put the decorations, and there's streamers, and there's glitter, and so many things. And then finally, you know, all right, let's fix the food. We start preparing the food and getting all the things, you know, drinks and ice. And then the guests start to arrive. And we're not ready. We've put all this time, all these hours into this, and yet we're still not there. And we're frantically trying to put things together while our family is coming in and friends are coming in. And, you know, it's all right. Can we just serve the cheese dip room temperature? Do we have to heat it up? And, you know, should we go ahead and get all the little paper graduation hats glued on the top of the water bottles like my wife saw on Pinterest? Or, you know, or do we just go out and spend time with our friends? You know, and there's just this constant bombardment of all these things we could do, and there's never an end to it. And they all seem like they're good. They all seem like they're important. And this is where Martha's at. She's got this dinner party planned for Jesus, and she wants everything to be perfect. And I can't even imagine trying to do that at a time when, you know, you couldn't go to the store and just buy all the things ready to go, and you had to butcher your own sheep or whatever out back that day and make your bread from scratch. And she's trying to get all these things done. She wants this party to be perfect. And she's not getting to spend time at the party because she's so busy with all the things, the important things that have to be done. And she complains. Because we all know what it's like to have those Marys in our life, right? It's so infuriating. We call them teenagers. No. We see people around us that it's like, you could help me. Why are you not as busy as I am? Why are you not as committed as I am to getting all these things done? And it infuriates us, and we don't know what to do. We're like, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care how crazy my life is? Don't you care how busy I am and all the important things that I need to do and all the important things I need to spend my money on? Don't you care? Can't you send somebody to help me? And I think a lot of us spend our whole life that place. We spend at least a large, significant part of our adult life in this place as a Martha. And we try to justify it. I'm justified. I say, well, there's got to be Marthas. Sure, it's great if you're Mary. There's got to be Marthas because these things have to be done, right? You can't just not have Marthas. We focus on that endless number of things that have to be done. We focus on the endless number of things that we need to pay for and that we want to bring into our lives that are going to make our lives better. We focus even on those lies that the world tells us will bring satisfaction, will bring happiness. And really all they do is create more desire for that, more lust for those things in the world that don't really satisfy. So let's put it in a little bit of perspective. The Bible says Martha was distracted. It doesn't say Martha had an important to-do list that she needed to work through and there was more than she could handle. It says she was distracted. In other words, her focus was taken off of what's most important and put on something of lesser importance. It doesn't mean those preparations weren't good, weren't important, but they weren't the most important. They weren't the priority. They're just the next demand of that pig that she started off feeding a pancake to. Do you know what the number one cause of auto accidents is? Not drunk driving. Not reckless driving. It's distracted driving. Texting while you drive. Eating while you drive. Putting your makeup on while you drive. Changing your pants while you drive. All these things distract us from the task at hand. And suddenly we find ourselves in an accident and it's our fault. And we're like, but it was important. Yes, that text may have been very, very important. And it is very important when you arrive at your destination that you're wearing pants. But in that moment, driving is what is most important. That's the focus of what we need to do. And maybe that's the way we're living our lives. We're trying to multitask, which, by the way, you're not as good at as you think you are. And we try to do all these things because they all seem important, and it's like a juggling act, and we're just trying to keep up, and we're not really able to focus on the things that are most important. And then suddenly, things go wrong. A job is lost. Marriage crashes. Friendship explodes. Whatever it is, and the important things come crashing down. And maybe it's because we're caught not paying attention to the most important things. Paying attention to other things that had demanded our attention, like the pig that we fed a pancake. Think about what your life looks like right now. About the way that you spend your time, the things that you've committed your money to, and the choices you make. Are you in a place where Jesus is saying to you, you're worried and upset about many things, but only a few are needed? Indeed, only one. In Colossians, Paul tells us, set our hearts on things that are above. In Psalm 27, we read, one thing I ask from the Lord. One thing is only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Of number one importance is our relationship with Jesus. And when we get that right, He begins to adjust everything else to fit into that. He begins to adjust all the other relationships in our life, all the other commitments that we have to line up with His plan for us. Does the way that we spend our time, the way that we spend our money reflect that? Do our choices, our behavior reflect that? Let me ask you then, what are the roles that God has given you that He hasn't given anybody else? What are the things that God has designed you for? I'm the only one that God has called to be a husband to my wife and a father to my kids. I'm the only one that has been called to pastor this church. Now, those things change over time. But in this moment, God has you in a specific place for a specific reason. God has uniquely designed something that only you can do. And yet there's lots and lots of things that seem important that don't really fit into that. And they're things that somebody else could do. Or maybe some of them are even things that don't have to be done. I know Netflix isn't going to watch itself. But so much of the time we spend isn't focused on or coming out of what God has called for us. You're the only one who can be the person that God has called you to be. So here's an exercise maybe to try. Make a list. Keep a journal over a period of time if you want to. Write down the way that you spend your time, the things that you do in your regular day. Or write down all of the commitments that you have given for your money. Write all these things down. Look at what they are. Do they suggest what are the most important things in your life? If you would say, this is what's most important in my life, is the way that you're spending your resources a reflection of that? Or is it distracted? Is it chasing off in all sorts of different directions? Is it trying to meet the demands of other voices and other people and other things in the world that are crying out for our attention? Are we intentional about how we use these resources? Well, then maybe start prioritizing these things the way that you would say they're most important. Rather than looking at how you're spending, how much time you're spending it, look at those things and say, well, this is the most important thing, and put a one there. Well, this is what I think is the next most important thing, and put a two there. And kind of get a list of the priorities that you would have in your life. This is how I want to spend my time. This is how I want to spend my money. This is how I'm going to put the resources that God has given me to work to meet what God has called for me to do in my life. Think about how much time, how much money you really have to put into this, and draw a line. And if it doesn't make it, if one of these items doesn't make it above that line, maybe it's not as important as you thought. Maybe it's a distraction. Maybe it's something that somebody else could do, or something that doesn't even have to be done at all. Now, I know sometimes that line has to be stretched. We're talking about a normal life schedule, but sometimes different circumstances come. Maybe it's even opportunities that God puts in front of us that are going to stretch that because we need to do a little bit more right now. We need to spend a little bit more right now. There's a crisis or there's an opportunity or whatever it is, and that line is going to get stretched, and that's okay. But on a normal day-to-day basis, we don't want to live that way. So I want to consider then one other thing, and we'll wind up talking about margin. And that's how all this really affects our relationships. How does this affect some of the things that we would say are so important? And so I thought, you know, maybe we should think about these resources like they're bricks. And this isn't just the, you know, the money that we have or the time that we have. This is the way we've committed it. This is this block of time that I'm saying, this is what I'm going to do with this time. This is the money I'm like, okay, I've got to spend the money on this, and it's committed. Or maybe it's the consequences of choices that we have made or that we are continuing to make in the way that that we try to obey God in our life. And we have all these different bricks, and we have a backpack in our life. Most of them are pink with zebra stripes. We have this backpack in our life, and we have to carry all these bricks on our back. We have to carry all of this because this is what's in our life. Well, there's a point where no more bricks fit, right? You can only get so much in, and then it's done. And sometimes it's because we've tried to live at the very limit and keep that backpack as full as it possibly could, and then something else comes along, and we're like, I don't know how to deal with this. Or maybe it's because we've even done a pretty good job of having some margin and having some space in our backpack. But then something unexpected comes along. And it's like, okay, I've got to adjust now. I've got to do something. We've got too many bricks. Well, one of the wonderful things that we can do is that we can ask somebody else to carry some of our burdens. We can ask somebody else, if you will help me with this weight for a little while, and you help me to carry this so that I can get through this time. We turn to spouses, we turn to our parents, we turn to friends, we turn to people around us that we can trust, that we love. And it's really good that they can help us out. They're willing to do that. I want to look at two verses in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 and then at verse 5. Paul says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. But then in verse 5 he says, for each one should carry their own load. Carry each other's burdens, but each one should carry his own load. If we consider this together, I think we kind of get a picture of what's going on with these bricks. Because it's really good when we can ask somebody else to help us with some of these burdens. We're getting weighed down, and we need some help for a while. And I thought about, you know, a few years ago, kids were still pretty little, my wife Heather wanted to go back to get her college degree. She wanted to get her bachelor's degree. She had an associate's, and she wanted to go along. So we kind of talked about, okay, what could this look like? And we realized, you know, she couldn't do that, and all the things that she was doing as a mom, and she had a job at the time. It's like, she's not going to be able to do all this. So we realized, okay, for her to be able to do this, I was going to need to take some of her bricks. And I was glad to do that, and I started doing, you know, more the kid transportation thing, right? And started, you know, cooking more of the meals, and started doing the laundry and other things around the house. In fact, the kids started calling me Dad Mom. because I was doing so many of the things to help take care of them so that she could go to school. And it was great, and I kept that extra burden for a couple of years until she was finished and she graduated. And then she began to take some of those back. But what if she didn't? What if she was like, all right, he's doing such a great job, and he's got everything under control, and I'm out of school, and I've got this freedom now, and I can find other things to fill up my time because he could do that. And then suddenly, this weight that I'm glad to carry really starts to be a burden on me, too. Because I start thinking, I'm having to do everything, and she's not doing anything. I start thinking, it starts causing resentment, it starts causing bitterness, and a rift in our relationship, because I would have to carry this extra weight. See, it's good for us to be able to trust somebody to help us with our weight for a while. But ultimately, each one of us has to carry our own load. Each one of us needs to be able to take on what God has given to us. And if we're living past our limits, and sometimes we're even forcing other people to carry weight that they shouldn't have to carry. Or sometimes if we think, oh, they've got it, they're being able to handle it, and we start filling up our time with other things, we're living without margin. We're living beyond our limits for us and for somebody else. Now we're taking up all these backpacks and filling it all up with the things that we think ought to be done. And when we expect other people to carry too much of that weight for too long, eventually it's going to weigh down them, and eventually they're going to drop it. And we look at that and we're like, what happened? I trusted you and you let me down. I believed that you were there for me, and now you haven't kept up. You dropped the ball. The brick. Men, we're especially clueless about this. We're like, all I did was say, honey, have you seen my golf shoes? And everything falls apart. And we're like, I don't know what happened. But it's because there was an extra weight on them that they shouldn't have had to carry for too long. And maybe it was good for them to carry for a while, but we needed to take that back. We needed to carry our own load. We work together, but when we just expect other people to do it for us, it causes a rift, it causes a problem in our relationship, and things come crashing down. We also need to realize that there are some bricks that we can't give to other people. Sometimes we try, and because they love us, they'll try to take them, but it doesn't work out. For instance, those important things in your life that God has given uniquely to you. You can't give those away. In that time when I was dad mom, I thought I did pretty good. But as I've looked since then, the way that my wife has been a mother to our girls, especially since they became teenagers, I'm like, I'm lost. I can't be the mom. I couldn't do that for them. I can do laundry, I can cook, but I couldn't do those things that she does to help encourage them, build them up, and get them through teenage life. Somebody may try to help us to fill in, but it's not the same as if we are fulfilling the roles that God has given for us to do. We also can't give away those bricks of personal obedience to God. That's that moral margin that we talked about last week. See, if we're living apart from God's will, we're actually forcing other people to carry on a burden that shouldn't even exist, that shouldn't have even been there in the first place. And if they love us and they're trying to manage that, it's not fair to them because they didn't even get a choice. They're just trying to handle it because they care about us. Addiction to alcohol, to drugs. It's not just your problem. Your loved ones have to carry that huge burden as well. Addicted to pornography? Here, honey, here's a brick that's going to weigh you down and is going to cause a rift in our relationship, and you don't even get to know what it's causing it because I'm going to keep it a secret. All these things that we think it's just us and we can handle it really begins to weigh down on other people around us as well. And our loved ones can't carry those burdens for long. They're going to drop it, or it's going to kill them too. And that's also an important thing for us to realize as we think about when someone we care about is living a sinful life. You can't take responsibility for somebody else's behavior. You can't fix things for them. I'm not saying stop loving them. I'm not saying stop showing them grace or forgiveness or trying to walk alongside of them and help them. But you can't fix things for them. And sometimes when we try to carry a burden, it just allows them to continue in that behavior, allows them to continue hurting themselves, and allows them to continue hurting other people. We need to stop saying it's okay when it's not okay. Also, if you're married, when you make that priorities list, your wife or your husband needs to be part of that with you. I'm assuming when you make that list, your spouse is going to be somewhere near the top. I know how important the NFL is, but they're going to be up there somewhere, right? So it's important for them to be a part of it. In fact, they get to help you decide how you're going to spend your time, how you're going to spend your money, what are the choices that you're going to make in your life. They are a part of that as well because you're going through this together and because you're the two that help one another to carry those bricks. So that's it. God invites us to put margin into our lives. Trust him to take care of those needs. We don't have to provide everything for ourselves, so we can back off. We can put some space in our life. We can trust him to meet the needs. And he invites us to focus our intention instead on what's really important. Look at what those priorities are. Put our resources there. Let our behavior follow our heart. Our behavior follow what God is putting into us. And those other things will begin to fall in place. He wants the way we use our resources to reflect what's really important. And he wants us to work together to shoulder the load, but not to take advantage of one another and expect other people to just handle all of our baggage. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a God who provides. Lord, that you can provide for all of our needs. That you own the cattle on a thousand hills. That you invented time. And Lord, that you have a plan for our life that benefits us, that builds us up, that fulfills our deepest desires.
Lord, we get so distracted
by all these voices, all these pigs around us that just demand so much of us and tell us that these other things are so important. And Lord, we're trying to meet the expectations of too many voices. Lord, help us to focus in on your voice. Help us to see what you say is most important in our lives and to put our focus there. Help us to know how to set up boundaries, how to say no to some of the things around us that really aren't that important. Help us to know how to set up those boundaries. And Lord, help us to know how and when to carry one another's burdens, how to help one another along without allowing one another to just live in that dangerous place, to live past their limits. Lord, build our marriages, connect us with one another, help us to be a team in this as we move ahead in our life, as we look for the ways to put all this together in a way that honors you and that allows us to listen to your voice, that allows us to be obedient to you, that allows us to be right there in that wonderful sweet spot of your presence. Help us to change our patterns of being. Help us to find effective ways to readjust, to realign, that we are aligned with your will in our life. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.